Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY25 Financial Results Earnings Conference Call of Sun Pharmaceutical Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Abhishek Sharma, Vice President, Head Investor Relations and Strategic Projects. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and a warm welcome to our first quarter FY25 earnings call. I'm Abhishek from the Sun Pharma Investor Relations team. We hope you have received the Q1 financials and the press release that was sent out earlier in the day. These are also available on our website. We have with us Mr. Dilip Shanghvi, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. C.S. Muralidharan, CFO, Mr. Abhay Gandhi, CEO North America, and Mr. Kirti Ganorkar, CEO India Business. Today, the team will provide an update on financial performance and business highlights for the quarter, pipeline updates, and respond to any questions that you may have. We will refer to the consolidated financials for management comments. The call recording and call transcript will also be put out on our website shortly. The discussion today might include certain forward-looking statements, and these must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that our business faces. You are requested to ask two questions in the initial round. I also request all of you to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered today. I will now hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. C.S. Muralidharan.
Welcome and thank you for joining us for the earnings call after the announcement of financial results for the first quarter FY25. Our Q1 financials are already with you. As usual, we will look at key consolidated financials. Q1 FY23 sales were at ₹125,243 million, an increase of 6.3% versus Q1 FY24 and increase of 6% versus Q4 FY24. Material cost stands at 21.4% of sales, lower than the same period last year on account of better product mix and slightly higher versus Q4 FY24. Staff cost stands at 19.6% of sales. Other expenses were at 30.9% of sales, higher year-on-year on account of higher R&D and selling and distribution expenses. Forex loss for the quarter was ₹505 million compared to a gain of ₹20 million same period last year. EBITDA including other operating revenues was at ₹36,076 million for Q1, an increase of 8.3% over Q1 last year, with EBITDA margins for the quarter at 28.5% against 27.9% for Q1 FY24 and 25.3% for Q4 FY24. Net profit after tax for Q1 FY25 was ₹28,356 million, up 40.2% over reported net profit of Q1 last year. Excluding adjustments of prior quarter, net profit was up 20.9%. Going forward, we expect effective tax rate to go up on a full year basis on account of number of factors including sunset of certain available exemptions. As always, our tax expense should be seen on an annualized basis. EPS for the quarter was ₹11.8 per share. As of 30th June 2024, net cash was $2.3 billion at the consolidated level. From this quarter, we are reporting Taro financials as part of the combined entity. Over to Kirti, who will share the performance of our India business.
Thank you, Murali. I shall take you through the performance of our India business. For Q1, sales of formulation in India were ₹41,445 million. Recording a growth of 16.4% over Q1 last year. India formulation sales accounted for 33.1% of total consolidated sales for the quarter. Sun Pharma is ranked number one and holds 8.6% market share in the over 2019 billion Indian pharmaceutical market as per AIOCD AWACS MAT June 2024. Corresponding market share for the previous period was 8.3%. For the quarter ending June 24, we grew higher than IPM and we have done well across all major represented therapy areas. We are happy to note that on MAT basis, majority of the sales growth has been led by volumes and new product launches versus the IPM growth, which is predominantly price-led. As per SMSRC MAT February 2024 report, we continue to be number one ranked company based on the prescription volume. Sun Pharma is also ranked number one by prescriptions with 12 different doctors categories. For Q1 FY25, the company launched 6 new products in India. I will now hand over call to Abhay.
Thank you, Titi. I will update on the performance highlights of our U.S. businesses, which includes U.S. portion of Paro as well. For Q1, our overall sales in the U.S. business is lower by about 1% over Q1 last year at US$466 million. The U.S. accounted for over 31.1% of consolidated sales for the quarter. U.S. specialty business has continued to grow. Excluding the sales of lenalidomide, the U.S. generic business has also shown growth. For Q1, we launched 5 generic products in the U.S. On 25th July 24, the U.S. FDA approved Leqselvi 8 mg tablets for the treatment of adults with severe alopecia areata. We are pleased with the first cycle approval of Leqselvi by the U.S. FDA. This validates our team's capability to effectively bring treatments from research and development to approval. Currently, a motion seeking a preliminary injunction has been filed in a U.S. court to prevent the launch of Leqselvi. The company intends to rigorously oppose this motion and work towards an early outcome. The decision of the Leqselvi launch will be governed by the decision of the court on the motion. We are excited about the impending launch of Leqselvi in the U.S. We will be unable to address further questions around the Leqselvi launch timeline during today's call. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Shanghvi.
Thank you, Abhay. I will now provide an update on the performance highlights of our other businesses as well as give you an update on our R&D initiatives. Our branded formulation revenues in the emerging market were US$284 million, up by 8.8% over Q1 last year. The underlying growth in constant currency terms was 11% year-on-year for Q1. For all of our larger markets have done well in local currency terms. Emerging markets accounted for 18.9% of total consolidated revenue for Q1. Formulation revenues in rest of the world were US$190 million, lower by 2.9% over Q1 FY24. Rest of the world markets accounted for approximately 12.6% of consolidated Q1 revenue. We continue to invest in building an R&D pipeline for both the global generics and the specialty businesses. Consolidated investment towards R&D for Q1 FY25 stands at ₹7,940 million, 6.3% of sales. Specialty R&D accounted for 45.2% of total R&D spend for the quarter. Moving on to updates on global specialty. In Q1 FY25, our global specialty sales were up by 14.7% to reach US$266 million. In July, European Medicines Agency validated the submission of the marketing authorization application of Nidlegy. It is the first marketing authorization application of Nidlegy and the treatment of locally advanced, fully resectable melanoma as potential first indication. In June, Sun Pharma acquired all outstanding ordinary shares of Taro other than shares already held by Sun Pharma. Taro is now a private company and only owned by Sun Pharma. The combined entity is better positioned to compete in the increasingly competitive generic industry. The teams are working towards seamless integration of both the organizations. With this, I would like to leave the floor open for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our first question is from the line of Kunal Damesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Kunal, you are online.
Just a moment, sir. As there is no response from the line of the current participant, we'll move on to the next question. The next question is from the line of Surya Narayan Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats set of numbers. Am I audible? Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir. You're audible. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. So my first question is on the U.S. business. Sequentially, we have seen some kind of sequentially decline. Is it fair to believe that entire part of the slippage sequentially is led by the seasonality factor in the Levulan? That is my first question. And also the related point is that I wanted to understand whether we have seen any sequential ramp up in the Revlimid sales. Because I think the 12-month period would have expired and now this quarter would have fallen in the new 12-month period where the volume share would have gone up. So despite that, there is a slippage. So hence, I wanted to clarify these two points relating to the quarterly slippage, what we have seen in U.S. sales.
So a large part, like you said, in the specialty side is because of the seasonality of Levulan. Barring Levulan, which for seasonality reason has declined from the previous quarter, every other specialty product has shown growth. As far as generic Revlimid is concerned, you should assume quarter one number to be similar to the quarter four number of the prior year.
Okay. So that means we might not have seen any meaningful uptick in the Revlimid. That is what we should understand, right, sir?
So sales of this product will always be a little episodic. So to estimate regular consistent sales each quarter is difficult.
Sure. My second point is about any update about the Chinese Ilumetri launch, any progress that we have seen, because that could be a sizable opportunity. So I'm just continuously trying to get in sense about that.
So, no, I think based on our interaction with the licensee, our sense is that the product is doing well. It's getting accepted in major hospitals, and they are happy with the response they are getting from marketplace, and doctors are happy with the clinical outcome the patients are getting from the use of product.
Okay. So then this will be part of the ROW sales or emerging market sales, then, sir?
It will,
and whether it would be a royalty kind of thing?
It is a product supply and royalty, yeah.
Okay. Okay. And part of the global specialty sales?
It will become part of the global specialty. So to that extent, the sales would be lumpy. It may happen in a quarter, may not happen.
Okay. Third point that I wanted to have a sense of, see, in fact, in the annual report, you have mentioned about building capability in-house, clinical capability in-house. Can you just elaborate what is the kind of or what that you want intended to say about it, and in what way that will help us either to the specialty or to the overall business of Sun Pharma?
No, I think clinical development capability helps us consider licensing a product with, let's say, late phase 2 development. Because then we have to do the phase 3 and all of that after ourselves, like also file the product, get regulatory approval, negotiate with the FDA for the label. All of the skill sets and capability help you with the ultimate success of the specialty product in the marketplace.
Okay. So will this lead to a kind of a saving in terms of the costs?
Yeah, can you join back the queue, please?
Sure. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bino Pathi Parampathi from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
So, Leqselvi litigation. Is this injunction a new case that has been filed or an application in an ongoing litigation? And when was it filed?
No, it's a recently filed litigation.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Abhisa, on Winlevi, IQVIA seems to be showing a very sharp peaks and dips in prescription trends. But your comment for the last few quarters has been that we are seeing improvement there. Just wanted to understand, any reason for the discrepancy in the revenue and the RX. Is IQVIA not capturing that? And is the traction that we're seeing in Winlevi in line with the expectation, especially given the changes that we you mentioned you've done in the last quarter?
Abhay?
Sorry, I was on mute. Sorry, Nia. I was saying that we have consciously worked towards improving the realization per prescriptions. So, and that's working well. So, although you may see a drop in the prescriptions, I think the product revenue is growing at a healthy pace on a smaller base, of course.
Okay. And despite that, you're still seeing growth in the product quarter on quarter?
Yes.
Okay, understood. And that's in line with expectations as well. Or do you think
it's a conscious strategy that we adopted?
Understood. And I know this is you know, very early. So for the GLP-1 product, it's just entering phase two. Given we don't have a presence in diabetes, you know, in the US, how are we thinking about commercialization? Would this be something that we could potentially out-license, commercialize on our own? Or even if I were to ask, you know, EM versus US, you know, could we see commercialization earlier in the US for this product? Any color on timelines would help.
Clearly, I think US as well as in Europe, which are large markets, we will not have the front end to commercialize the product ourselves. So that is a market in which we will consider partnering or even licensing the product to a player who can help us get sensible share of the market. Because that may also be equally useful for getting better marketing. In emerging markets and in some of the larger markets, we may have our own capacity to bring the product to market ourselves.
And would emerging market happen earlier, sir? You know, could, given it would take time for US.
As on today, there is no plan to conduct separate studies for emerging markets, so it will be part of a global trial.
Understood. And Abhishek, if I can squeeze in one more question on the R&D, we've given an 8 to 10% guidance. You know, obviously, first quarter is significantly lower. Should this step up in the you know, consequent quarters, given the, you know, timelines haven't really changed for the pipeline?
Yeah, I think you should presume a step up in the subsequent quarters.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on US generic business. Now, like I said, Taro is part of the US business. So, how do you see this business growing? And if you can also update on any update which you have on the Halol plant from FDA perspective.
So, Abhay, maybe you can respond to the Taro.
I will probably just echo what you have been saying, Mr. Shanghvi, on prior calls. We were already 80% shareholders of Taro. So we were always intimately involved in the running of the business. But to that extent, nothing changes. Both teams are now working towards integrating both organizations and making it into a far more efficient single entity. And that work is ongoing. The second part of the question, if you would like to answer.
So, it's, any update on Halol from FDA perspective?
So, I think the idea is that once we are clear, which should be shortly, we will request FDA for a re-audit of the facility. But that's a decision that we will take once we are 100% sure.
Okay. My second question is on Lexalvi. So this new litigation which Incyte has filed, so obviously you mentioned that you intend to vigorously oppose that motion. But from you intend to bring this product into market. So is there a possibility that you look to settle this litigation?
I think especially in the context of the U.S., either a favorable judgment or settlement will always remain an option.
Okay, so either of these two. Fine, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Damesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, loud and clear. Please go ahead.
Sure. So, sir, when we look at our specialty business growth from here on for the next, let's say, 2 to 3 years, what would you be planning in terms of volume growth, new product growth and pricing mix? In your view, what would be the ideal mix in this business? And for the new product related growth, would you say that our current pipeline is sufficient to support what you have in mind?
So unlike, say, a market like India, where we have been operating for decades now, to have a very clear answer on how much is volume, price, and other factors that you mentioned is very difficult for us. But philosophically, we always work towards growing volumes. And price increase is taken as a bonus rather than as a way to grow. So I think increasing volume, growing faster than the market, and increasing share of prescriptions from the doctors is where the organizational focus has always been for any product in any geography. Coming to new products, again, in the specialty business, you don't have the luxury of launching multiple products. So we are looking forward to launching Lexalvi. And we hope to be doing a good job with the launch of this product when we are able to.
Sure, sir. Thank you. And on the Lexalvi launch, would you say some of the launch cost is already built into our current quarter P&L, or there are more to come?
So obviously, when you launch the product actually in the market, the marketing expenses will be higher than what you see for the current quarter.
Sure, but some of the, let's say, back-end processes like, reimbursement or excess personnel, maybe little bit of additional, sales force, etc., would that be already there in the quarter, or that will also...
It would be.
It would come, or it is already there?
It is already there, but it is expected to go up when we actually launch the product.
Sure, sir. And one for CFO, sir. What would be your current net cash position for as of June
24? 2.3 billion.
Thank you. I have more question. I'll join back the team.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amey Chalke from GM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question and congrats on good set of numbers. The first question I have is on the Taro integration. Is it possible for the management to outline the integration benefits coming out of Taro consolidation, like in terms of manufacturing landscape, etc.? Is it possible to quantify the impact on the cost or margin side? Thank you.
So as on today, as we explained, I think Taro has been operating as a 80% owned subsidiary for a long time. So there are no major structural changes which are likely. We are, as Abhay explained, we are working with a view to create a integrated single organization, both for customers as well as for suppliers. That is what is our current plan. So there's no, we are not seeing any significant short-term synergy, but I am sure that as we continue to focus and make our operations more efficient, synergy will evolve. Abhay, you have any point to add?
No, I think it was covered, actually. Thank you.
Sure. So second question I have is on the U.S. generic market. We have three units which have been affected by the regulatory issues. Is it possible to tell how much of our pending pipeline for the U.S. is affected by because of these plants? And are there any meaningful launches for the U.S. generic market in the coming year? Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to
I'm
all.
Sorry.
Yeah, Abhay, you were, if you answered,
yes.
You were.
No. I was saying that critical launches that we are, that are important for us in the generic business, I mean, we are not dependent on these three plants. But having said that, if I look at the total basket, naturally products that we have filed from these three facilities will be impacted. Does that answer your question? Was I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chalke, you have any further questions?
No, thank you. I will join back.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for questions, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Girish Bakru from RP Med. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Abhay, just a comment on Ilumya, given it's 4 years to launch. I mean, I don't know whether it's possible to, you know, highlight if the peak sales year for Ilumya, is it within the next 2 years, or would you say it still has a long way to go given the IL-23 adoption?
I would think we have a long way to go because, you know, we still have headroom to grow in the current indication. And when we get the psoriatic arthritic indication, that's an additional segment that opens up for us. So in my opinion, we are not near to the peak sales of the product as yet.
And just related, I mean, we have seen two aggressive launches recently. Bimzelx came and has been grabbing a lot of, I think, prescription share. Sotyktu has also been doing well. I know yours is a more medical benefit product, but any comment you can share on whether the rebating has increased in the class or the volume growth is a bit of a challenge now?
So without naming, I think at least one of the two products that you mentioned, in my opinion, has actually not met the expectations of the organization at least. But, and I don't think, I mean, the class that we are into in psoriasis always was a, you know, highly populated class in terms of number of options. So I don't think that pressure has increased. That pressure was always there. And within that, as you said, since we have a medical benefit product, we have been able to find a niche which we are able to find, in which we are able to find ways to grow.
Understood. Second question was on Leqselvi, actually. I know you're not commenting on the launch timeline, but reimbursement for this class has been a very challenging issue. Pfizer also has been talking about that. Possible to comment, have you had any discussions already with the payers on the product? And I mean, if assuming the launch comes, would the uptake will be slower?
I don't really want to go there at this stage. It's evolving. We are engaging with the payers with the guardrails that we have to maintain prior to the launch of our product. And we feel that there is interest in the payer community for our product. How it evolves, I think, let's wait for it, and then we will probably give you a little more brief.
Thank you. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just with respect to ILUMYA for the indication of psoriatic arthritis, where we are in terms of, you know, the recruitment of patients? I mean, 60-70% done, 80-90% done, if you could, you know, share some light there.
So we have shared the, what you call, details about when we expect to file for this product. I think one study is complete, I mean, for sake of clarity. One study is very close to getting completed. So there are two arms of the study. One is with biological live patients and the other is with biologic.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Tushar, there is a lot of background noise coming from your line. If you can mute your line.
I have muted myself.
So biologically naive and biological failure patients. So I think hopefully we should meet the timeline. Some of these patients are difficult to recruit.
So considering that and considering the other products sort of into completing the phase 2 and sort of top line data in first half CY25, so just trying to understand what would, you know, lead to a big step up in the R&D spend as far as FY25 is concerned.
No, you're trying to link up this with the R&D spend.
So not just for ILUMYA, but when considering the other products in their current phases, not just specifically ILUMYA.
But we are only sharing details about products that are already in clinical trial. We are not sharing any information related to our plan for initiating any further studies.
Got it, sir. That is it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Damesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. We have seen a sharp uptick in India revenue in Q1, around 16% year-on-year growth. So if you can highlight what is, we have said that we have seen growth across therapies, but any particular, variable affecting this, and is this growth momentum sustainable for the rest of the year?
Yeah, as I said earlier, we are seeing growth across the therapies, and the business is performing well, because majority of our growth is also coming through volume, which also talks about the growth in a prescription. Your comment whether this momentum will continue is difficult to say because we don't know how the markets will be in next two quarters. But our idea has always been to grow in line with market or slightly higher than market so that we gain a market share. And we also remain focused on a volume growth.
Okay. But there isn't any additional channel that we would have focused in this quarter, right? Maybe modern trade or something which would have led to higher growth?
No. I don't think there is any additional channel in this quarter.
Okay. Sure. And our staff cost growth on a year-on-year basis is quite muted. I can see only 2% growth. So is it related to the some of the cost efficiency measure that we have taken, and are the performance related wage hikes, etc., baked into the current quarter?
No, I think like what we say for majority of the expenses, you look at annualized cost, don't look at quarter on quarter. There will be some amount of adjustment or periodicity which may mask actual underlying numbers.
Okay. And last one from my side. I think the atopic dermatitis trial readout for SCD-044 has been moved to H1 CY25 versus earlier guideline of H2 CY24. So what is causing this delay?
I think recruitment of the subjects.
Okay, and we expect any more delays here, or we are kind of okay with the guidance?
I think idea is like we shouldn't give explanation rather than giving the outcome. That's a position that we try and achieve in all businesses. Hopefully within next some time we should achieve that also in clinical trials. Because I have never explained our performance that because of this reason we did not achieve the numbers. It's better for me to factor everything before I give guidance.
Sure, sir. And the last one, since we are on specialty, we have said that we might look at in terms of out licensing our GLP-1 molecule, right? But do you have any particular timeline in mind as to when, in terms of development stage, we would be looking out for partner?
So my sense is that once we have greater clarity in terms of clinical outcome, since we are in patients, is the best time at which we will start looking at the partner.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for questions, please press star and 1 on your touchtone phone. The next question comes from Sumit Gupta from Centrum. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. We have one question on Ilumya. So how much is the share in the psoriasis market and pruritus category in the US?
Sir, could you please repeat? A little choppy voice for me, please.
Okay, so what is the share of Ilumya in the psoriasis market in the US?
You're talking all categories?
Yes.
Very small, it's like 0.5%.
Okay, and how do you expect
only the IL-23 class, then we'll be closer to 8%.
8%?
IL-23, yes.
Okay. And how do you expect it to, like, over the next 4 to 5 years or over the long term, how do you see it going forward?
Hopefully growing.
Pardon, sir?
I mean, hopefully the idea is to grow.
Okay. And so, sir, any guidance on the overall revenue growth over the next 2 to 3 years?
No, we don't give long-term guidance.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening. Have I just one clarification on IL-23, 8%? This is the volume market share or the patient market share you're referring to?
This is the prescription market share, or the BIs as you call it in the sector.
Understood. And the second on Revlimid, so you mentioned it is flat quarter on quarter. I remember last quarter it wasn't significant, so should we assume that it is not significant contributor this quarter and it can increase in the subsequent quarters?
I mean, we don't guide product-wise, so for me to give you each product granularity is difficult because we don't guide.
Okay, but would you say it is a significant contributor in the current base that we have?
I mean, I did not understand the question. What do you mean by
so? Would you consider it a significant contributor to your revenues in the US at this point? Because this opportunity is there for a limited time. So I just wanted to understand, would you consider it as a significant contributor?
So, like it's a limited quantity launch, and the quantities that we have are not very high. So it's one of the important contributors to the generic business. But there are other interesting products that we have in the portfolio as well.
Okay. Understood. Yeah.
Chime for this quarter, the contribution from lenalidomide was not large.
Mr. Mukherjee, you have any other follow-up questions?
No, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Surya Narayan Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
My first question is about the field force expansion that we have consistently done over the last couple of years in the domestic formulation side. So since the exercise of expansion over the 4-year period that we have completed now, so what is the stance here? Are we thinking about further expanding, extending into the this thing, tier one, tier two, tier three kind of town cities like that, if that is not further getting expanded, then is it fair to believe that now the focus would be on enhancing the productivity of the people that has been added and hence improved margin going ahead?
I don't think what gave you the idea that even while we are expanding, the focus is not on improving productivity.
No, in fact, obviously it takes at least a year or two post the addition of the field force to see a kind of a real productivity of the new people. So that's why I said that, okay, since we have been consistently been adding people over the last 4 years, so now if we are now focusing more on the kind of optimizing the productivity of the people that has been added in the recent period. Or what stance that we would be having here?
So broadly what I'm saying, whenever we use expansion as a strategy, we always looked at our productivity doesn't get diluted. That's what I can say.
But practically the sales for this thing, MR, in the recent year has to some extent slipped below. Although it is not very significant, but it has come down a bit. So that is why I was trying to understand that whether we will go back to our the previous peak and hence improvement there it also. From that angle, I was coming to this question.
Sure, I understand what you're saying, but I think it will not have a big impact.
Okay. Similarly, even in the emerging market, we have added around 10% kind of field force there. So could you share what is the share of the branded market there in the emerging market, branded in the sense of branded generic and pure generic? Since we are adding people, then is it fair to believe that the share of branded generic is likely to go up in the emerging market there also?
So I think broadly our entire business, excepting some tenders, almost entire emerging market business is branded generics only.
Okay. So this around 9% kind of people addition what we have done in FY24, sir, as per the annual report. So whether this is an ongoing practice or this is kind of a special effort that we have done to boost the branded generic business?
I mean, I would not know because there are a large number of countries. But, 8-9% is not a dramatic increase in number of people.
Because
we have a large... See, there are three things which we have to keep in mind. One is you have a constraint about the number of product a rep can promote. The second is number of therapy areas that rep can promote. So sometimes simply because you are starting ophthalmology product in some country, we might have to start and hire new people because same people can't go to ophthalmology. So decision making is country therapy specific.
Okay. And is it fair to believe
that Surya, can you move back to the Surya? Can you move back in the queue, please?
Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead. Tushar, your line is unmuted. You can proceed with your question.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Just one more question from my side. On ROW sales, there's been quite subdued for last two quarters. Any particular reason you want to call out? And also, we just understand how we can take a look
doing forward. Tushar, your line was a lot muffled. I believe we were not able to understand your question. So if you can please try again.
Is this better?
Much better, sir. Yes, please go ahead.
So just on ROW sales has been, in terms of growth, has been quite subdued for two quarters. So just would like, if you could explain the reason for the same and how to think about it going forward. Thanks.
So one reason would be possibly because of the, what you call price cuts and generic product pricing pressure in Japan. But I think we are expecting even that business to be able to continue to do well as time progresses.
Understood, sir. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nimish Desai for closing comments.
Yeah, we still, Nimish is still pretty much top of mind. I am Abhishek here. Yeah, thanks everyone for joining the call and at this late hour. For any questions that still remain unanswered, you can reach out to the investor relations team and we'll be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Sun Pharmaceutical Industries Limited, that concludes the conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.